Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle.
I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
And as always, we are rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia one page at a time off the top of our damn heads in convenient and easy to listen to podcast form. Glenn, we're all tied up. We took a loss last week. It sucked.
It was a rough one.
It was a rough one, which means Wikipedia's got 17. We've got 17. We've tied
nine times. It was like a palace cat came down from the Siberian mountains to steal our breath.
That's exactly what it was like.
Exactly.
Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about
the future.
Let's talk about the future. Let's talk about now. You've had quite a bit of diet cola.
Yeah.
You feeling awake? You feeling good? We're recording at night.
Yes. I do. I feel good. I realized diet soda is currently my primary vice.
Oh, well, I mean, that's great.
Besides the caramel dittos that I mentioned a
constantly,
few weeks ago.
Constantly, yeah.
But again, those, like, you can order them online, but I realize that's like a bridge I shouldn't cross.
Yeah, it's the hunt that makes them so special.
Right, the fact that I only see them in Ohio
makes,
like, I feel like there's probably a point of diminishing returns where if I eat too many of them, they're no longer the special treat I see them as now.
But as is, they are perfect.
Yeah.
You know, but if they wanted to sponsor this podcast, I wouldn't be
Jenny's
against
Popcorn,
it.
Get at me. I don't think they are on Twitter, but I mentioned them, not like at mentioned, just regular used their name, hoping they would sponsor my upcoming tour.
A lot of good it's done.
Which so I think fun. I'm on when we release this episode.
Yeah, fun.
A little peek behind the curtain.
Oh, my God. We record in advance? What?
What?
All right. Well, as always, we went to the internet. We went to the Improvised Wikipedia Facebook page, which if you're listening and you don't like yet, get on there because that's how you can give us suggestions on what topics to tackle. We threw it out there asking people what topic they would like to know more about that probably has a Wikipedia page. We've got some good suggestions.
Last couple weeks, great turnout from listeners.
No
dropping joke. In some great suggy jests.
No jokey jokes, which is sort of nice. I'm gonna need a number between 1 and 12 from
you. Get a big old number 5 on that one.
Big
there,
old Chan? Number 5. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
What is it? What we got? What are we working with?
Friend of the show, John T. Wright, has made a suggestion. It is in direct reference to a near decade-long bit that I've been doing with him. Where
is that all-star thing?
It is not a Smash Mouth all-star thing, but appreciate you thinking of me in that way. He is a huge Superman fan.
Okay.
He wants to know about Superman. I think Superman is incredibly boring.
Same.
And so anytime he posts anything on social media that I see, I just comment, Superman sucks. Because it, for a while, got him very riled up. But like near 10 years in, it's just a fun thing we do now.
Sure.
Here's what I want to get out off the table right now that I know about Superman, right? So Simon and Schuster invented it. And what I do want to do at some point in my life, I want to read like
Simon and Bill Schuster. I'm trying to remember.
I don't know first names, but
I mean Jeopardy rules. We can get away with this last name,
right? And that's why I did it because you know I live.
I know,
my life
but
by
I like
Jeopardy
it when
rules.
I know things.
I live my life by Jeopardy rules.
Shit, Jeopardy fucking rules.
Oh yeah.
Glad you're back, Alex. Glad you're all feeling better.
It's good. It's good to have you back, Alex. What I'm saying is the early run of Superman is basically telling the Jewish immigrant story in America, which is super interesting, and I want to read it. I haven't read it. My opinion just comes from movies and comics that I've read that are not that original, and I'm just bored because he's perfect.
It does it in allegory. It's not great.
Right.
Like, the early years of comic books.
Oh, they're tough, man.
Were
tough.
Novel, like,
mm-hmm.
the invention of superheroes, everyone's like, oh, we like the idea of this.
Right.
The execution was, I mean,
lackluster.
Still, like,
impressive for the time, doesn't hold up as well.
You had four colors, you're printing on cheap paper. Yeah. Like, the reason Superman number one, or Action Comics one, was the first appearance of Superman.
I know Action Comics, but I don't know if it was actually Action
Pretty
Comics
sure.
one.
Pretty sure. Not a positive.
The reason it's so valuable is because the paper doesn't hold up.
And because people didn't see it as a thing worth saving.
Right.
It was you would read it, mm-hmm. you'd give it to a friend, or you would throw it in the garbage. Like, you didn't hang on to it. So mm-hmm. it's worth, I'm trying to remember what the most recent one sold for, over $1 million. I think Detective 39, Detective Comics 39, the first appearance of Batman, may have edged it out in the past couple of years, but I might be misremembering that, for the most valuable. And I want to say that was, I'll take a swing at it. I'll say that was sold for $2.4 million.
Hmm. Interesting.
But it's just because not many of them survived.
Right.
Like, hundreds of thousands of them got printed, but, again, didn't last because it was cheap paper or thrown in the garbage. So the fact that, like, oh, yeah, I forgot I put this one in a box and it's been in my attic for
I will say, though, like,
years.
You're right. Like, is there depth in storytelling and things that hold up? No. It's very surface-level stories, but they do serve as a really great time capsule, too. Like, I have like, a library edition of Wonder Woman, of all of the, like, you know, chronological.
First appearance, Wonder Woman,
yeah,
number one.
Like, all, you know, so, and it's so good. It's super interesting, and it does more feel like a time capsule type kind of experience when
yeah.
I'm reading that.
Like, I have a couple of the, like, the Marvel, God, I was going to say a couple of years ago, 20 to 30 years ago, started putting out like omnibus
mm-hmm.
reprints of like basically entire runs of their old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could get the first 60 issues of whatever Marvel character you wanted in a trade paperback.
Well,
I read through a couple of those and, like, yeah, you know, it's interesting to read the first couple Daredevils because,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're a fan of the character, it's interesting to see when things got introduced, but also just, boy howdy, they were broad adventure stories written for children.
It's like season one of ALF just doesn't hold up.
How dare you?
You know, if I'm remembering our improvised Wikipedia podcast canon correctly, comic books do have a really fantastic kind of historical connection to the presence of air conditioning.
Well, it was Judge Magazine, which mm-hmm. I think in the episode, I was misremembering that it was a comic book, but it was a humor magazine.
How dare you lead me on with
No,
false
I corrected myself in the episode. By the time the episode
you
was over,
know
I remembered.
I'm not paying attention, Glenn. This is a very dangerous
but
thing
similar.
That we're doing. We're rewriting Wikipedia.
Similar.
With great power comes great responsibility, my friend.
I mean,
I realize that Spider-Man and not Superman,
right.
But still,
a comic book thing, and great job for pulling it out. So, Judge Magazine, Willis Carrier invented modern air conditioning, 1912.
We don't need to restate facts. We already did that episode. People can go back to
it. But no, it was similar printing, right? It was
yeah.
just cheap paper. So the reason he had to do it was because the ink wasn't sticking to the paper because it was so goddamn humid in Brooklyn.
Right.
Simon & Schuster in
it's so goddamn
in Manhattan.
It's so goddamn humid in Brooklyn is a great name for a stand-up special. We were talking about how improv team names and stand-up specials all have just ridiculous names.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways,
I thought of the one that I want to do for my next one after Good Grief.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
No, I don't.
Glenn Tickle Against the World Crime League.
I hate you. You know, I'm a fan of the movie that Buckaroo Banzai could be, not the movie that it is, because it's garbage.
I did that joke for your benefit just now, but I might follow through with that.
I hope so.
It's as good of a title as Yes, Really, the one from my first one.
It's true. Solid plug. But let's dive into Superman.
So Superman.
Because we actually probably know enough here to have a puncher's chance.
We're going to need a year on that. I want to say 1939, but I think that might...
It's pre-World War One. No, World War II.
No.
Rather. It's pre-World War II.
I was going to push you down
the
stairs.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
all right.
I want to say 39.
Yeah, I buy that.
But that might just be in my head because Detective Comics 39 is the first appearance of
Batman. Maybe, right? So, like, I do know... Okay, you've got the traditional comic strips that were in newspapers, right? And still are in newspapers to this day, right? There was
probably,
I believe, the mythology of comic books in general was like they became popular. Someone with a newsstand started like pulling them out of the newspapers and just selling them.
Right. Well, pre-superhero, right? Comic books and comics existed. The earliest kind of recognized this is a comic character, the Yellow Kid.
A Western.
No. Just about a little orphan kid in the streets of, I believe, New York City. It just so named because he had like a little, just kind of long baby shirt that was yellow in the comic.
You are a font of useless knowledge. I love it.
Blanking on the artist name.
I bring nothing to the table here, huh? Well, we don't need to get into that. We're not doing comic books. We're doing Superman. So we're just dating it. I think 39 is as good as any year.
I think it is. I think that's...
Let's go with it. Action Comics number one.
I think, yeah. Action Comics number one, first appearance of Superman. Yeah, so it is... it's an allegory for the American Jewish immigrant experience, which is... detailed really nicely in, I believe, the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Amazing Adventure of Cavalier and Clay, which is a fictionalized account of, like, sort of a parallel superhero story. The character that they make up is called the Escapist, which I think more directly is, like, this is a Jewish superhero.
Right.
Because the one, I don't remember which one's the writer and which one's the artist, but the artist kind of goes crazy and makes like a 1,000-page wordless Gollum comic. And but they get sued in Cavalier and Clay. They get sued for knocking off Superman.
Got it.
Which was a real thing that basically every superhero that followed had to deal with in the, I want to say, late 40s was when lawsuits started flying because it got very popular. So basically, Wonder Woman, I believe, famously was created by the publisher saying, "Make me a female Superman." So I think in the reason I might be misremembering. I think the reason Wonder Woman is in DC Comics is because they won the rights because they're like, "Well, you just made a knockoff Superman and called her Wonder Woman. This is ours now."
Well, I don't feel like that's a knockoff at all, DC, you jerks.
Well, I know Superman originally did not have the full list of powers he has now.
Okay.
They kind of grew over time because they kind of had to keep one-upping the character.
Sure.
The introduction from the old radio show and TV show, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than locomotive, can leap over tall buildings in a single bound, was about it originally.
Well, and let's actually slow down here. Let's tell origin story here. He is from the planet
Kal-El from Krypton,
right?
Son of Jor-El, and
parents wisely decide to throw him in a
Mrs. L's name
in a space time capsule because their planet is about to blow up.
Not a time capsule, just a little.
I'm calling it that.
Well. His father was assigned
isn't a spaceship just a time capsule? Going?
Nope.
Think about it.
I mean...
Yeah. What's up? I'm right. Fuck yourself.
So, Jor-El was a scientist on Krypton who believed the Earth was going to... Or not the Earth.
Krypton.
Krypton was going to explode. And nobody really believed him. Which
feels very 2019.
Remember when you were a kid and you're like, who's going to... Come on, dummies. Like... If a scientist tells you the planet's going to blow up, you believe him.
Yeah, but here we
are. And then now here we are in 2019. We're like, oh, yeah, I see how all the Kryptonians died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all thought Krypton was flat.
Now, the part of the story I don't... That's always struck me as weird is he makes a tiny rocket ship to say, look, we could make bigger ones of these and all get off the planet. But instead, he just makes one tiny one that will only fit his infant son, Kal-El.
Well, it's possible that he just had, like, scarcity of resources, right? Like, we don't know what he made. What's the economy of Krypton like in that time?
It was a golden age.
Yeah, but like, did he have bank? You know what I mean? Could he
Probably.
Afford to do it? I don't know that he
there's
could.
There's that Krypton show that I haven't watched. Because as we talked about at the beginning of the episode, neither of us are that interested in Superman.
Not at all.
But again, I'm my lack of interest in Superman comes from the fact that he is Silver Skeeter. If you remember from Doug,
yeah.
Where Doug has Quail Man.
Mm-hmm.
He can hypnotize people a little bit and wears his underpants on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he teams up with his best friend Skeeter, and he creates the character Silver Skeeter with a limitless list of superpowers, it makes the writing process terrible for Doug, because he's like, well, if you can do anything, nothing is interesting, which is true of Superman.
Yeah, 100%.
But, like I said, that was not always the case. He started out, it was the Ubermensch idea. It was like a literal translation of that,
mm-hmm.
Which, again, to talk about the American Jewish immigrant experience, the idea of like there being a superior race that is stronger than man was sort of what was fueling the Nazis. So to take that as, you know, two young Jewish men who got out of Germany and immigrated to the United States to kind of throw that in the face mm-hmm. of not, it was like, that's a bold move, guys.
Yeah, it's great.
So I'm not like, when I say Superman's not interesting, the history of Superman to me,
super interesting,
very interesting. I do not want to read a current issue of Superman or see another Man of Steel movie.
Oh God, Man of Steel. Woof.
But
can we just take a minute to talk about how Zack Snyder has never made a movie that I like?
I like the Watchmen movie.
Oh, it was garbage.
That seems to be the prevailing opinion. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
I like the graphic novel Watchmen. I
think it was a pretty solid adaptation of that. Mm. The one thing Zack Snyder does well is get comic book panels on film. That's not enough to make a good movie, though, bud.
No, not at all.
But Watchmen, for the most part, like, panel for panel, is
like
adapting.
I don't know, man. I don't like that ending. Give me a crazy monster.
No, see, that's where you're wrong. Me and Dave Gibbons agree.
What do we got to do here? What do we? I mean, it's a Superman Wikipedia page. So like, what do we do to win this, man? Like, we just list movies and you're like, I don't know. Love that John Williams theme song, you know? Superman theme song is great.
Yeah, John Williams does good work. Somebody tried to tell me that most of John Williams' big themes were like ripped off of other stuff. Might have been Anthony Lucrezzi.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I buy that.
But I don't. I haven't heard the tapes, so I don't know.
And
but
also, like, I don't. There's no way. There's no way he gets through his career as far and long as he had, especially in the world that we live in now.
Correct.
Without someone being like, "Hey, look
well,
at this stuff."
I'm not saying like it was a one to one. I'm going to take this song and say it's my song. But
sure.
Like the way Tarantino gets all of his stories from like Kung Fu movies,
right?
Where he's like, "Oh, I'm just gonna take bits of this and put it with bits of that and make everybody white and put in a solid 10-minute close-up shot of feet." I think it was like I think that was the argument, but we're off topic. So Superman, his powers developed over time, which there is one Superman novel that I enjoyed thoroughly. And I'm blanking on the author's name, but I believe it is called It's Superman.
Hmm.
And you start the story with teenage Clark Kent in a movie theater being interrogated by the police because
it's a bad place to do an interrogation.
Well, the movie theater was just held up at gunpoint.
Oh, no.
And the bad guy shot at the
cashier?
The cashier, the guy doing the concession stand. And Clark Kent was there, and he's being interviewed about what happened. And he's very nervous. And you get, like, halfway through that scene, and then you find out he is nervous because he's holding the bullet from the gun that was supposed to hit that guy.
Right.
But it hit him, and he's holding it. And he's like, if they find out I'm holding a bullet,
right,
like,
right.
Then they will know that I am different. And the book is him finding out that he is Superman, which makes it interesting.
So I had like a...
Like, he doesn't start out flying and shooting lasers out of his eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
He is a strong teenager at the beginning of this book.
Who caught a bullet. That's good.
Yeah. And that's how we find, like, he just found out he's bulletproof.
I'm having an existential crisis about Wikipedia right now. Because, like, part of me is like, does the world need a Superman Wikipedia page? And the answer is yes.
I don't see why not.
It does. Because that is, we're trying to spread information. And our goal here to take on Wikipedia, because we're two smart boys, and it seems like a fun, dumb idea. We can write a better Wikipedia than the world. That's the conceit of this show. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, do we really need to just list Superman stuff? Like, what do people really need to know about Superman? Like, what do you need to know, right? Like, I think the history of it is super interesting. Certainly one of the most recognizable characters probably around the world.
Probably, gotta say, top 10.
Easily.
I think Ronald McDonald's got him beat.
Yeah, for sure. But like what else is like absolutely essential? Like, let's not talk about canon. We're never going to compete on canon, right? There's too many nerds out there. It's already covered. Everybody's read that. We haven't read this stuff. But we
can't list every comic book title that he's appeared in.
And every author and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's great. And there's databases of that. It exists. It's great.
Right. We can hit the big points. We've already mentioned Man of Steel.
So like what do... If we had to distill this down, let's just get a real good intro paragraph on Superman.
Okay. We already mentioned who he was created. We think it was 1939.
Mm-hmm.
His original powers were that he was slightly better at things than regular people.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the stories developed, they kind of added powers later to, like, keep the stories interesting.
Yep.
And then they came into the problem of, well, now we have an overpowered character,
mm-hmm.
which would just sort of lasted for decades.
Mm-hmm.
There are interesting Superman stories that have been written.
Sure, for sure.
I'm not saying every issue of every Superman story is bad. It's just the appeal to me of Batman as just a guy.
Much more interesting.
Much more interesting than superpowered alien. Although Batman... has gotten so far away from just a guy that I've also kind of lost interest.
Yeah, also
in
not just a guy with a bank account.
Yeah, a guy with $1 trillion and.
Yeah. But let's go back specifically to Superman here, right? So adapted for radio, TV, movies, novels, extensively for advertising,
video games,
mm-hmm.
and not good ones. Which is how I found out about It's Superman, because another podcaster and who at the time was writing for Polygon that I like, Justin McElroy, pitched the idea to like video game makers in general. He's like, here's how I think you can make a Superman game interesting. Because most of them have been bad. Like, there was one for Nintendo 64, but you're like, well, how do you give Superman a health meter? He's Superman. If you just stand in the street and let regular thugs punch you, you're going to die. That doesn't make any sense. So they made, like, Metropolis have a health meter.
So, like, people died so that, like, then you fell.
Yeah, so, like, if there was too much crime, its health fell. So you had to, like, and it was, like, an interesting thought of how to try to save that. But, like, he can do too many things for most. Like, and there was, like, I think a Superman Atari game that, like, it's, you know, pixels on a screen. How are you going to translate?
I think, and that kind of gets me to, like, this feeling of ennui that I have right now, where, like, I just don't care.
Yeah. Well, McElroy's pitch for basing a video game off of It's Superman is because you start with almost no powers. Like, you know you are kind of strong. Yeah, you know you're going to win a fight.
And let me just clarify. It's not that I don't care about this pitch. I think his pitch is lovely. It's just Superman, to me, is just an exhausting topic of, like, yeah, it's Superman.
Yeah, but he's have to do the thing.
He's a superhero, can do everything. That's why, ultimately, to go back to the damn thing and his suggestion,
making it competitive is your
sucks.
Idea.
He's fucking boring. End of Wikipedia page.
But as this story goes along, he realizes he has more and more powers. He becomes Superman. That's what a video game should do, because, like, the Arkham games for Batman,
yeah.
right? you start, you are alone on in Arkham Asylum, right? As the game progresses, Alfred like airdrops gadgets to you, and you can get to different places and do more things.
Mm-hmm.
So if a Superman story progressed along those lines of like, all right, you know you're strong,
know
you can jump high, you know you can run fast. Then later in the game, you have to jump really high, and then you realize, oh, I can fly now, and then you can just fly for the rest of the game. Like, but that's sort of what he did in the comics. Like,
mm-hmm. Sure.
As story needed to justify it, he got more and more powers. But big points.
Fueled Fortress, by Earth Sun.
Fueled by Earth Yellow Sun. Green Krypton will weaken him to the point of making him mortal. Red Krypton there's so many Kryptonites. Green Kryptonite makes him weak. Red Kryptonite makes him kind of lose his shit.
Mm-hmm. Yellow Kryptonite makes him horny.
Definitely. I think there's a gold Kryptonite.
Makes him super horny.
There's different color Kryptonites that do different things. That's probably not going to be in the introductory paragraph, but Green Kryptonite definitely will be. That's a piece of Krypton that fell to Earth. Lex Luthor, the main villain, he's always trying to get Superman because he doesn't like that there's somebody more powerful than him.
Mm-hmm. He's Jeff Bezos.
He's a Bezos. And it will probably mention Lex Luthor has evolved over time too.
Yeah.
Was like originally a mad scientist, then a businessman, and then a politician. He was mm-hmm. president in the comics for a while.
Hmm.
Kind of whatever the scariest white dude archetype was.
Right, and that's probably most well known.
In Love with Lois Lane.
Yep.
Reporter. Secret Identity, Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm.
Reporter for the Daily Bugle.
Jimmy.
His pal, Jimmy Olsen.
Olsen, yeah.
Cub reporter, photographer for the Daily
Planet.
Planet. I think I said Daily Bugle the first time.
That's right.
Daily Planet. His boss, Walter White. Nope. That's the Breaking Bad guy.
Yeah, it is the Breaking Bad guy. I was actually
Perry White.
You piqued my interest for a moment. I might have cared.
No, Perry White is his editor at the Daily Planet. Ma and Pa Kent. So he lands in Smallville, Kansas.
Yeah.
That they find his rocket. They raise him as their own child. Eventually reveal to him, you came from space, little kid.
Mm-hmm.
They give him his baby blanket. That's his cape. The symbol is not an S. It's the Kryptonian symbol for hope. He kills Zod in Man of Steel, which was controversial. But my defense of people adapting work, it makes sense in the context of that movie. Like, comic book Superman, no, would probably not have ever done that. But in that, you watch that movie in a vacuum, that character kills that other character because
mm-hmm.
he realizes he's not going to stop
right.
killing people.
And honestly, at that point in the movie, I was like, this is so bad, someone has to die anyway. So
my opinion that was the right choice in the movie is the only interesting thing about that movie to me. Because it was very boring.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of random vignettes about Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Although, that movie did give me the opportunity to talk to Bill Nye, Kevin Smith, the Mythbusters, and Maya Bialik about how Superman shaves.
Wow, that's great. Why don't you put your dick away? Because I don't have that.
You can look it up, too. You can look up my chats with them, currently
cool.
hosted on the Mary Sue.
That's pretty cool.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, that's Superman. I'm exhausted. I'm mad at John Wright for suggesting
Leader
this.
Of the Justice League.
Stop it. I don't care.
He's
blue and wears red underwear outside of his
you
shorts.
You can't do this every time you're not interested in a topic. I didn't
when
give
have
a
I
shit
ever done
about
this before? It's the
you
first
didn't
time.
Give a shit about those cats from last week.
I worked my balls off. I was just wrong, sir. I was just wrong.
We gotta come to the table to play.
Well, you did a great
a
job.
Bad
you really
Superman
you really
game.
Did do a great job. And like to me, I think having that history is great.
But I do think you do raise an interesting question of the idea of us competing with all of Wikipedia, which I've brought up before. Of it feels like a fool's errand. The fact that we have won any of these is a weird fluke. But I like
17 weird flukes.
I like your idea of we should really be competing with the opening paragraph.
Yeah,
for like an honest competition, because some Wikipedia pages are hundreds of thousands of words long. And we're never going to get all that data.
And I was just exhausted by the premise of like...
Should our new goal each week be to write the opening paragraph of Wikipedia? Because that, I think, objectively, you can compare those two things, whether... Because we've been scoring this ourselves.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's no way that we don't win this at the end.
This one?
No, no, the whole...
Oh, yeah, the whole
when
thing,
when we rewrite
sure.
every single page of Wikipedia, we're going to get to the end of this. And we'll
no
be like,
one's
you know
keeping
what?
Score but us.
Yeah,
we're going to
we
cheat,
did a great
and
job.
We're going to take Wikipedia for,
so good.
For our own.
So good.
But I think a more realistic, grounded version of this is we rewrite the opening section of a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, no, I think that's something that we should factor into our scoring moving forward. I mean, I learned a lot today. I learned that I actively dislike Superman so much that I just don't. I just don't care. Like,
I
just
know.
Like whatever.
I'm,
Superman, great, awesome.
I've taken college classes on comic books. Like, I'm not surprised that I know the things about Superman that I know, even though I'm not interested in him as a character, because he's a big boy. He's a big deal.
Oh yeah.
For
oh yeah.
Comic books, but also just media and storytelling in general. Like, he's had a huge impact.
Yeah, I mean, he's the first.
As a character, like
first superhero, that's incredible.
The first,
we probably call him superheroes because his name is fucking Superman.
Potentially, I know Marvel and DC share a copyright on the term superhero.
Oh wow!
So like, I don't know that they're that litigious with it anymore, but they were at a time.
Like, yeah, it's interesting. Like, what do you call them? Just like really great guys, pals. I don't know. Let's step aside. I think you did all the work here, and admittedly. I let everyone down, but like, I don't care. Like, I'm just depressed at how much I actively dislike Superman.
I think I've talked myself into liking him more than I would have said I did at the beginning.
You just like being contrarian.
No, I like being right, and I feel like I knew a lot of facts.
All right, well,
I do really like the book It's Superman, and I apologize to its author for not remembering their name.
That's all right.
But check it out. It's a very good book.
Let's step aside.
You can check it. I'll give you that book.
Great. You're never getting that book back. Let's step aside, take a short break, pay the bills, come back. I'll read
get
this Wikipedia page.
Money.
I'm gonna psych myself up. I'm gonna pretend like I care about the Man of Steel. Hey friends, it's John and Glenn from the Improvised Wikipedia podcast. You know that you're listening to this podcast. That's why you're hearing this important update that we have for you.
Hell yeah!
Put your phone down, bud.
I got to check to make sure all my children are okay.
They good?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's no messages to the contrary.
Oh, that's good.
That's what I was checking to make sure my wife didn't text me that our house burned down.
That's
awesome.
It'd be weird for her to text and not call in that scenario.
It's true.
Well, do you want to start the ad read over or you just want to dive into it?
Let's keep chugging along.
All right. Do you guys like to play billiards? I'm talking pool. I mean, I don't. You don't?
I have a billiards game on my Apple TV. That's not the way that remote works. It's not an enjoyable experience, but my daughter seems to like it.
Huh.
She likes figuring out the angles and all, like, kind of the math involved in it. So
cool. That's my bad. I was, like, hypothetically asking the listeners.
The listeners, well, they're not here. They can't answer.
Well, like, here, I'm just going to give them, I'm going to ask the question again. And then we'll give them like a little, like a pause so they can out loud answer wherever they're listening to this
makes
podcast.
Sense. Yeah.
And then we'll jump back in. Okay,
we'll
ready?
Do that again.
Hey guys, do you like to play billiards? I'm talking pool.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah, see, we need to leave a break for that. Like,
that was them.
No, that was
they
you.
Said it.
It was very clearly you tilting your head backwards.
No, what? I don't talk
just,
like that.
Just silence so they can.
That was very high pitched. I have a deep masculine voice that cracked as I said masculine. Okay.
We're just gonna.
All right, take it one more time.
Hey guys, do you like to play billiards? We're talking pool.
Yeah, we love it.
Is he whispering now?
What?
No, you're whispering.
I don't know what you're talking about. We have very quiet listeners, John. All right, let's do it one more time. I'll be
I mean,
good.
Yeah, okay.
One more time, I'll be good.
Yeah. Hey guys, do you like to play billiards? We're talking pool.
We love it. I didn't move my lips that time.
I wasn't looking at you, so I was just like, really? You already kind of made that way to heighten that.
We love it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
Sam,
I got skills. I mean, no, that was our listeners. That wasn't me.
Tell me more about billiards, John.
Well, this week's episode of the Improvised Wikipedia podcast, now that you bring it up, is brought to you by the nine ball on every pool table in North America.
Just the one, huh?
Just the nine balls. Yeah, they unionized. They have a union. They're looking to spread the word out. That
you know.
Yellow striped ball with the nine on it, that is everybody's favorite pool ball. Fuck you, eight ball.
Yeah, because you know what? Eight ball has been running the table for a while now.
Yeah.
As the one everyone gets tattooed on their butt.
Do you know what's better than the eight ball? In fact, one
the
better.
Nine ball.
Yeah.
Do you know what's genuinely a more fun game to play when you're
nine
playing
ball
pool?
Pool?
Nine ball.
Yeah.
It's more fun
mm-hmm.
than the regular kind.
That's why North America's nine balls unionized, to spread word of this alternative game.
Yeah.
You don't have to play eight ball. You can play nine ball. And if you're in the market for a tramp stamp or a butt tattoo or
yeah.
a face tattoo, consider nine balls.
The game goes faster, right? So, like, mm-hmm. most people aren't good at pool.
Right.
You play a couple times a year, maybe, right? You run into a friend. There happens to be a pool table at the bar. You don't have a lot to say to your old friend. You know, grab the sticks just to have something to do.
Yeah. Oh.
Rack up just the nine balls.
Rack them up.
Save yourself some time. Right? Because you're not good at it, right? You want fewer balls on the table. You'll get through the game faster. The way you do it is more enjoyable. It's a more fun game.
Hey, I'm going to go off script here, Glenn, because I'm just legitimately curious. What's your favorite pop culture billiards reference? I have one. Can I go first?
Sure. Because I don't know that I have one.
It's the episode of Community where Joel McHale learns how to play pool in shorts.
Yeah, that's probably mine. Because I do love Community.
So good.
And I don't remember anybody playing pool in Buckaroo Banzai. Although now that I said that, there is a pool table at Banzai headquarters. At the Banzai
Nine ball!
At
rack
the
it up! All right, we're back. And I have up in front of me one of the longer Wikipedia pages I have ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, well,
because
know.
Nerds.
How many
citations?
Of citations
yeah,
are there?
226 citations, a bibliography, further reading, and external links at
you
the bottom of this.
You gotta cite them. Sources.
Woof. All right. Well, let's start. This article is about the superhero. For other uses of Superman, see the disambiguation. Also, there is a little note that it has been suggested that Clark Kent be merged into this article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suggested by us just now. Do that, idiots.
Superman is a fictional superhero.
Not like the real kind. Although there are like people who do dress up and be vigilantes and call themselves superheroes in the real world. Like that, Phoenix Jones. Great work, bud.
That's the first sentence of this. Literally, Superman is a fictional superhero, period. Hard stop.
He is.
Yeah.
Nailed it, Wikipedia. You're off to a great start.
The character was created by writer Jerry Siegel and artist Joe Shuster and appeared first in Action Comics
Jerry
number
and Joe,
one.
Of course. I got that.
A comic book published on April 18th, 1938.
Ooh,
off by a
so
year.
So close,
oh.
Daddy.
Price is Right rules, though. You overbid.
I know. That's what makes it worse.
The character regularly appears in comic books published by DC Comics and has been adapted to a number of radio serials, movies, and television shows.
I think you said that phrase exactly.
We did. Superman was born on the planet Krypton and was given the name Kal-El at birth.
Nailed it.
As a baby, his parents sent him to Earth in a small spaceship moments before Krypton was destroyed
Correct.
In a natural cataclysm. His ship landed in the American countryside near the fictional town of Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
He was found and adopted by farmers Jonathan and Martha Kent, who named him Clark Kent. Clark developed various superhuman abilities, such as incredible strength and impervious skin.
I don't think I said his parents' first names. I think I just called them Ma and Pa Kent.
Yeah.
And we missed a real opportunity to do our best Batman and Superman grumbling Martha at each other.
Oh, it would have been so good.
Martha.
Martha.
Why'd you say that name?
Why'd you say that name, Martha?
That movie sucks so hard.
So fucking hard.
Boy, does it reek like a turd.
Oh, God.
Also, Dean Cain's the worst Superman.
Yeah. His foster parents advised him to use his abilities for the benefit of humanity, and he decided to fight crime as a vigilante. You know, actually, that's interesting. You don't often hear Superman credited as being a vigilante, whereas Batman is constantly, you know, and Spider-Man is constantly, right? But, like, Superman is, too. Like, we don't talk about it. He's just a fucking Boy Scout, so everybody loves him.
I think that's why the lack of mask helps. But because he's presented as an alien from another world, like, mm-hmm. the idea of charging him with human crimes seems silly.
Does the general public know that he's an alien?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think right away, but a couple times
it's revealed.
It's been like, you know, in Man of Steel, right? Lois Lane is doing the interview. He says the thing about the
blocked out
the
all
S
of those Zack Snyder movies.
The Kryptonian symbol for hope. I think we see it in the man. What's the one with Brandon Routh? The Superman Returns.
Mm.
There's the article, why the world needs Superman, and then the follow-up, why the world doesn't need Superman. Or no, the other way around. I think she changes her mind. Because Superman leaves at the end of Superman 2, and then that movie picks up just at the end of that one and ignores 3 and 4.
I don't care.
But...
Stop.
So he comes back. But I think Lois Lane has interviewed him in most Superman timelines at one point or another and revealed to the world he is an alien from
Krypton. To protect his privacy, he changes into a colorful costume and uses the alias Superman when fighting crime. Clark Kent resides in fictional American city of Metropolis, where he works as a journalist for the Daily Planet. Superman's supporting characters include love interest and fellow journalist Lois Lane, Daily Planet photographer Jimmy Olsen, and editor-in-chief Perry White.
I said all of those people.
He has many foes, such as his arch-enemy, the genius inventor Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
He's a friend of many other superheroes in the DC universe, such as Batman and Wonder Woman.
Mention both of them.
Although Superman was not the first superhero character, he popularized the superhero genre and defined its conventions. Superheroes are usually judged by how closely they resemble the standard established by Superman. He remains the best-selling superhero of all time and is endured in one of the most lucrative franchises even outside of comic books. Who's the first superhero?
I want to say, I mean, you can make an argument that, like, Hercules was a superhero, you know?
So I just clicked through to the superhero page because that was just interesting.
But I think, like, the first time the term was used was talking about Superman.
So according to
like, they were masked characters.
Do you wanna know what we're going with from the superhero Wikipedia?
The
page?
Phantom,
this is actually,
maybe?
This is way more interesting than anything Superman. So on the superhero Wikipedia page in history, pre-1940, the word superhero dates to at least 1917. Antecedents of the archetype include such folkloric heroes as Robin Hood, who adventured in distinctive clothing. In 1903, the play The Scarlet Pimpernel and its spin-offs popularized the idea of a masked Avenger and the superhero trope of a secret identity. Shortly afterward...
But he's not super.
No. Shortly afterward, masked and costume pulp fiction characters such as Jimmy Dale, the Gray Seal in 1914, Zorro in 1919, The Shadow in 1930, and comic strip heroes such as The Phantom in 1936 began appearing, as did non-costume characters with super strength, including Popeye, of all things.
See, now...
Interesting.
All right. Popeye has superpowers. He gets super strong when he eats spinach.
Mm-hmm.
The Phantom has some superpowers, I think. There's a Billy Zane movie. I don't know a lot about the Phantom. The Shadow has the power to cloud the minds of men into thinking he is invisible.
Well, I mean, be careful.
But he does not actually turn invisible, and his power just comes from, like, you know, a 1930s mysterious trip to the Orient.
We already established Batman. It's not about power.
That's a fair point. Well, I mean, I think... But there's people who argue that Batman's not because he doesn't have powers.
Those people are dumb.
Yeah. But he also has billions of dollars and is a super genius.
Fair. I would posit that that was way more interesting than anything we're going to read on this.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna look up the superhero Wikipedia page when I get home. Check that business out.
All right. Creation and conception.
But he's the archetype for superheroes.
the like modern superhero, for sure.
Yeah. For what it means now to be a superhero. Oh, you mean Superman?
Yeah. Correct. Siegel and Schuster met in 1932 on
high
school.
We said Simon and Schuster, like idiots.
Yeah, we did. And that's my fault. I said it.
And then I ran with it because you said it.
I'm sorry. They met in Cleveland, bonded over their mutual love of fiction. Schuster often provided illustrations for his work. In January 1933, Siegel published a short story in his magazine titled Reign of the Supermen. The titular character is a vagrant named Bill Dunn, who is tricked by an evil scientist into consuming an experimental drug. The drug gives Dunn the power of mind reading, mind control, and clairvoyance. He uses these three powers maliciously for profit and amusement, but then the drug wears off, leaving him a powerless vagrant again. Schuster provided illustrations depicting Dunn as a bald man. I'm more interested in that
story. Yeah, I'd rather read The Reign of the Superman then.
Yeah. Siegel and Schuster shifted to making comic strips with a focus on adventure and comedy. They wanted to become syndicated newspaper strip authors, so they showed off to various editors. Newspapers told them their ideas weren't sensational enough, that they would have to come out with something that was more sensational than anything else that was on the market. That prompted Siegel to revisit Superman as a comic strip character. Siegel modified Superman's power to make him even more sensational. Like Bill Dunn, the second prototype of Superman is given powers against his will by an unscrupulous scientist, but instead of psychic abilities, he acquires superhuman strength and bulletproof skin. Additionally, this new Superman was a crime-fighting hero instead of a villain because Siegel noted that comic strips with heroic protagonists tended to be more successful. In later years, Siegel once recalled that this Superman wore a, quote, bat-like cape in some panels, but typically he and Schuster agreed there was no costume yet and there's no apparent there's none apparent in surviving artwork. So they showed the second concept to a bunch of publishers. Blah, 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 blah. Trying to find, God, this is incredibly detailed. Like, if you actually care about Superman, this is a great resource. Man, yeah, we just don't have time to get this far into it. But this is, as you would imagine, very passionately edited with a ton of links, a ton of references. I mean, we knew we lost when we got the subject.
Sure.
But again, you know, like, I will go back to that.
We nailed that opening paragraph.
We did nail that opening paragraph, which, hey,
we messed up.
I feel good about that.
Siegel and Schuster and Simon and Schuster.
It's a big mess up, and that's on me.
Pretty big, but come on. But people do that all the time. I failed to mention Thomas Martha by name. I just call him Mom Pa Kent.
I mean,
what
hey,
else did we miss? I think those
were
the two we missed. I think the rest of that opening paragraph we nailed.
Yeah. So I feel pretty good about it. There's no way this is a tie, though. This is squarely.
No, I mean, the rest of the page, we get our asses kicked. But that's why I'm saying, like, should we rein in our scope a bit?
I don't know that we want to rein in the scope a bit, but I do think we can take comfort in a loss like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we're not. I mean, but then it gets to a question of, like, next time somebody suggests Batman, like, are we going to even try? Like, do we skip that one?
Because like
we
Batman,
know we're going to
so
lose.
Yeah, I'll try.
I know a lot. I know. I'm surprised with everything I knew about Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I know even more about Batman.
Yeah.
Because Batman was my favorite superhero for a long, long time until everything in the world turned horrible.
I'm going to speak directly to the kids listening right now because I know they're out there. This is your friend, John. Improvised Wikipedia podcast. I really let you down today. I let my personal opinions on a fictional character get in the way of effort. And honestly, you deserve better. I can do better. I'm not the role model and hero that you deserve. And today I let you down. But I want you to know I'm not going to do that again. If I get Batman or if I get any other topic in the future, I'm going to bring it. Even if I don't know, I'm going to bring it. I'm not going to have that piss poor attitude that I brought to this page just because Superman is by definition an incredibly boring character that no one should care about. I'm better than that, kids. You deserve better than that, and I promise you, and I promise you, Glenn.
You're going to do great on our Chess and Buckaroo Banzai episodes.
It's going to be so good.
You're going to really bring it, I feel like.
I mean, I'm going to call it. It's a loss. I don't know. It's an honor just to compete. If you had to leave a fake fact here, what would you leave?
Canonically, Superman doesn't fart.
Oh.
Kryptonian biology.
And you know what's
eliminates
so great?
The need for farts.
You know what's so great about that is, like, it's specific and nerdy enough that, like, you saying it as, like, oh, yeah. I feel like that's actually
that
real.
Might be in there somewhere. There might be a panel
yeah.
in a comic book somewhere that somebody
yeah, like,
is going to be
like,
no, that's true. That's not fake.
Yeah, was that you? Was that you, Clark?
Like, no,
no, I actually don't do that.
Kryptonians don't fart. Everyone knows that, idiot. And then he blasts them with laser eyes. We lost this one, bud.
I know. I feel bad about it.
Lex Luthor for life.